Chris Hulbert, obviously, a conservative from Douglas County who's been there a while. You, the new guy who, you know, didn't really know a whole lot what to expect. And so we're going to talk more about your first week as a state legislator. We've got one more caller with another question and a comment, I guess, for Aaron, the guy who called you earlier. This is Russ with a question for our state legislator, Justin Everett, on Grassroots Radio. Russ, what's going on?
Yes, Randy. I just wanted to make a comment in regards to the individual that just called, the National Guardsman. I'm not sure exactly what he thinks he has to give up because he's in the military. He certainly doesn't give up his right to vote. He doesn't give up his right to attend council meetings. He doesn't give up his right to attend school board meetings. He can go to precincts. He can get involved in political activity. He is limited in terms of what he can say about the President of the United States, but he's got a tremendous amount of freedom and liberty to become involved in the political process. Certainly, if he's interested in getting involved in local politics at the state level, I'll tout the leadership program of the Rockies here because I know you're a graduate of the program, but he needs to get out and network with a lot of people who are involved in the political process, and certainly there's a number of programs that he should be seeking out and getting involved with others. To get his name out, to find out what is going on, and develop the opportunity to run for public office.
Russ, those are great comments. Thank you very much for calling in on the show. And Justin, he's so right. I said this earlier in the first hour that, you know, it's not necessarily about quantity. Obviously, we need quantity people out there spreading the message, knocking on doors, doing the work, whatever it happens to be. But we also need quality of people. And programs like Leadership Program of the Rockies really make us think about not only what we believe, but why we believe it and how we can make a difference with what we believe.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was class one for LPR, and you were in last year's class or 2 years ago?
Last year.
And it's evolved. I mean, we were sort of the original creation for Charlie Williams and Bob Schaefer's and everybody's vision and what they want to do and training the leaders for tomorrow. So I know that the program has gotten a lot more extensive and a lot more in-depth than I think when we went through it. But, you know, that's a good starting point. But like I said, I mean, it's a pretty low barrier to entry to get involved here in Colorado. There's really no excuse. There's a lot of meetings, you know, and like I said, I mean, you can maximize your vote here in Colorado just by attending a caucus and getting elected a delegate. You know, I think that in my race, you would have been one of about 200 going to select your next state representative, or at least our nominee, and then, you know, voting in a primary, you're maybe one of 8,000, and then by the time you get to the general, I think we had 48,000 people vote in my race. Then you're one of 48,000, but if you were involved at every step of the way, you know, you had more of a bearing on who your candidate was and getting that quality candidate in there.
Well, just the idea that great people like Aaron and callers like Russ wanting to know what do we do next. I have such hope for the Republic. I refuse to be one of these Debbie Downers who just thinks this is it. You know, this too shall pass. The point is, while this is going on, this being the Obama administration, the incredible expansion of government is going on, we have to be gearing up for the next election, period.
Absolutely. And, you know, and that was, you know, and here's the thing. I mean, people see all this partisanship, and we always hear about the partisanship. But, you know, we disagree with the other party. But, you know, on the personal level, on the personal relationships, I mean, you still have that personal relationship with these people, and they're very nice, very cordial. And we've talked about the campaigns, you know, subsequently, you know, because, of course, the Dems did a lot of things right. And what the comments we were getting from the Democrats is, you know, we've been campaigning for 2 years, and then we didn't hear anything from our Republican candidates until maybe the last couple months of the election. So, you know, the Dems are running in, you know, two-year cycles and thinking ahead and, you know, dotting all their I's and crossing all their T's, or we're running these short little elections to try to get our guys in there, and obviously we need to change that dynamic
Yeah, this has to become a long-term, full-time plan where we never stop, because that's what the left has been doing for a decade. And so, you know, we may be slow learners, but we're tough, we're smart, we work hard. We're going to turn this thing around, I have no doubt.
You know,
at all.
And Barack Obama got elected in 2008, and then we had the 2010 election where there was, you know, major pushback, and, you know, it's kind of been the roller coaster with Colorado politics. So, you know, I think if Republicans, and going back to Rose's point on the whole message, and, you know, I have a different perspective on that, if Republicans are on message and saying this is what we want to do and this is how we want to move the state of Colorado forward and how we want to move this country forward, I think we're going to be successful. I think that pendulum is going to swing back our way, but we just have to have the good quality people with the good quality message and get that out there. So,
yeah, don't give an inch.
And that's the problem. You know, we hear about the new term going around is sort of the, you know, be a statesman, which basically means compromise. The problem is that Republicans always seem to compromise to the left. And like I said earlier, I mean, that's how we end up with $17 trillion deficits.
Yeah, and I don't want to get it sidetracked, but I think that's the left's view of what a statesman is. I'd have a whole different description for that particular adjective. But, you know, the show keeps grinding on, and we haven't really gotten down to your first week in the legislature yet. And now, a very good friend of both of ours, I think, somebody I ran into today and let him know I was going to be in and is called in now, someone who is very active, very powerful, has a great voice for the conservative movement, our friend John Ransom from townhall.com Finance is on the line. John, welcome back to Grassroots Radio.
So wait a second. You said you're tomorrow. Is this tomorrow? You're going to be cold, miserable, and loud. I mean, isn't that like every day?
John, you know me well, but I'm trying to create this image for the listeners that I'm, you know, a good guy with a reasonable intellect and hopefully a somewhat wry sense of humor. Why are you outing me like this?
You have a massive intellect. You're just cold, miserable, and loud pretty much every day, though.
Well, I guess that's true. I am a trial lawyer, so I do tend to speak my mind from time to time.
That's what people pay you for.
John, I'm managing the show horribly because we're already at the next break, so I know that you've got some time. Please stick around. We'll be back with State Representative Justin Everett and John Ransom, my friend from townhall.com/finance, when we come back on Grassroots Radio. Nice way to start the next segment, Zach. Thank you very much. Grassroots Radio Colorado, I'm Randy Corcoran in for Ken and Jason, who will be back on Monday, weather permitting. And I am so privileged. I'm just grateful to be joined by two people I really respect. Number one, Justin Everett, who newly elected state House representative, and political commentator John Ransom from townhall.com/finance. John wrote an article a couple of days ago, the GOP could use the whiskey, the Tea Party drinks, and I hope we have time to get into that a little bit because I couldn't agree more. It reminds me that the Arapo Tea Party has essentially gone dormant after the election. We had a kind of a regroup meeting after the election results. It was a great meeting. Republican State Chair Ryan Call came in and answered some tough questions about the election results in Colorado and nationwide, Republicanism in general. I respected how he came in and stood up and faced the heat, where there really was some, but did so with good humor and no fear. I thought that was pretty good. The Arapaho Tea Party is getting ready to start again, and I'll be making announcements about that you'll hear periodically on KLZ. Our first meeting of the year will be January 22nd at the South Metro Fire Rescue Authority building. I've only been there once. We had a great meeting over there. I think it's off of Yosemite, not too far from 470. But we'll get all that information out along with the lineup. It is an excellent facility. We really had to finally stop trying to go to the library because what was happening, especially running up to the election, is that all these different primarily leftist organizations were reserving the rooms. And there were, and not just at the Smoky Hill Library where we did the Arapaho Tea Party meetings for so long, but at all the libraries in Arapaho County. And, you know, I haven't gone out to try and prove it. I haven't hired a private investigator. I haven't waterboarded anybody to get the information. But I believe this was part of a concerted strategy of the left to make it harder for like-minded conservatives to get together. And these are the kinds of things that Republicans have to do to look ahead, to plan ahead, to get facilities, to bring people together. And anyway, we've got some time to work out those details, and I'm really excited to know that I've got patriots like John Ransom, Justin Everett, who can help me brainstorm. We can all talk, figure, push the argument, and try and get something different done in 2014. And John, I've been dying. I've had Justin now, gosh, probably for almost an hour on the phone. I've been dying to find out a little bit more about his first week in the legislature. One of the things that I'm sure must have happened, although I don't know the details, is that the newly elected majority leader of the state house, Ferrandino, I think is his last name, must have given some kind of a speech to frame the agenda. Justin, what was that like?
Well, you know, first let me start off. The speaker, Ferrandino, he's a really nice guy. He means well. It's just a different philosophy from where we're all at. But he started off his speech, and I just heard the word government probably about 40 times. Government, 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 government. And then
that always came after the word limited, right?
No.
Limited. Okay, go ahead.
More government, more government, more government. And then, you know, we always get tattooed on the social issues, but, you know, it never cuts both ways because then he started talking about gay rights and so on and so forth. And then he started going after guns. And then he started talking about schools and you know, getting more money to schools, but without any reform or accountability. So it was just sort of more of the same. You did see some definite disparity between both sides of the aisle to where, and again, we don't dislike the speaker, but, you know, where I think we're pretty far apart on some issues where we're pretty stoic as a caucus, not a lot, if any, applause coming from our side for most of the things that he was saying, where his side of the aisle was definitely cheering out loud. So we have our work cut out for us this year. You know, I feel truly blessed, and I know she's listening, so I'll give her a plug. I probably have the most dynamic, overqualified aide down there in Debbie Healy. So I think
Debbie Healy,
a
great friend of Grassroots Radio,
and so I think we're a little ahead of the game of other new members. But again, it's like drinking out of fire hose, and we're getting a lot of stuff thrown at us, and we're going to be playing a lot of defense. We're going to be doing a little bit of offense, or actually a lot of offense, especially coming from a lot of the new members, to put those Republican values out there that we talked about earlier, and try to frame our message. And I think probably John, who's also on the line, is going to help us continue framing that Republican message. Right, John?
Yeah, that's correct.
In fact, John Ransom from townhall.com/finance, you have a new endeavor, don't you? Aren't you getting involved in a radio show of your own?
Yeah, we just launched a radio show in 10 cities on Salem this week. And hopefully we'll be picking up our 11th city this week, and it's pretty exciting.
Very, very exciting, and this is part of what's happening. I really thought before the 2012 election that, because I've been a part of seeing all the organization that's going on, all the money that's coming together to plot a direction and create a structure and a mechanism for getting the conservative message back out in front of people, I thought that it had grown so much since, especially 2008, but building off of the incredible turnaround in 2010 that we had for the good guys, us, that we were going to have enough to defeat the Obama machine. And I think if we'd have had the right candidate, we probably would have. But putting
that's kind of always the, you know, the complaint. And I will tell you that. Yeah, we could always have a better candidate, but we didn't get beat this time around because we didn't have good candidates. We got beat this time around because we didn't have good logistics. As Justin pointed out earlier, you know, he's talked to his Democrat friends, and they've been campaigning for 2 years, and we have got to just start to think about campaign cycles differently. The cycle has already started for the governor's race, and we need to have a state party and county parties that are willing to participate right now rather than take time off and understand that these election cycles really never end.
Well, it's an excellent point, and I want to thank all of the listeners who are on Facebook or sending me text messages with questions and comments. I really appreciate that you're out there. And if you have questions for our call, our phone guests, John Ransom and State Representative Justin Everett, feel free to call 303-477-5600. But John, isn't that really the, and this is a question from a listener, that it really is the job, or shouldn't it be the job of the state party chair and the individual county chairs to work with all the individual coalitions to coordinate message, coordinate resources, so we don't have, you know, people were bombarded with calls leading up to this presidential election, the same people getting calls from 10 or 15 different people, it just turning them off to the process rather than targeting people who maybe hadn't been reached yet or hadn't made a commitment yet.
Well, I believe that the Democrats, by doing the work that they've done for the last 10 years or so, have figured out really how on Election Day they can mobilize 2 or 3% of voters that normally they, or at least in past times, they have not been able to mobilize. And I think a lot of that is because they send people to the door. They do a lot of good field work. They've been doing a lot of good field work, but not just the Democrats themselves, but part of their coalition. And that is one thing that the GOP just really does pretty poorly, is they take this top-down approach. The Tea Party is not invited. The grassroots is not invited. And I know Ryan has tried to be more inclusive, but there's just kind of a managerial style that goes along with being a part of the GOP apparatus that really rubs people the wrong way. And, you know, with all of the advantages that we do have, we have great grassroots. We have completely motivated people. We, I think, dominate much of the social media in terms of Facebook and Twitter. We know how to get out to vote. We know how to go to doors. We're not afraid of doing that. There is no reason for us not to be able to compete successfully with Democrats when it comes to get out the vote yet, especially here in Colorado. Last couple election cycles, I believe in 2010, too, we also lost a Senate race because we were just out-hustled by the other side, and that's a shame. We can't lose the close races. We have to figure out how to win those close races.
John Ransom of townhall.com/finance, State House Representative Justin Everett are my guests by telephone on this frigid pre-Bronco victory Friday night. You're listening to Grassroots Radio Colorado. I'd like to pursue this idea of exploring, and I know you may have certain limitations now, Justin, on how much you can get involved, how we can get the Republican Party to work better with groups like mine, the Arapaho Tea Party, and other committed conservatives who are willing to get out there so that we're using our resources in a smart way. If you've got questions along those lines or just are interested in what the answers might be, stick around. We'll be right back. Friday night on Grassroots Radio Colorado. Welcome back. I'm so privileged to be sitting in tonight for Ken and Jason. I'm Randy Corcoran. Thanks so much for listening, texting, Facebook posting, and just being a part of the movement that will not end, that will not go away, that will not lose what it means fundamentally to be a citizen of the United States of America. We're not giving it up. It's a privilege. It's the most... You know, I guess that that quote, the God and Country quote in that last spot before we came back, just got me feeling all sentimental about being a part of the liberty movement, about having friends and patriots and people to work together with, like State Representative Justin Everett, John Ransom, who's out there working all the time, posting, writing articles, pointing fingers at things that need to be seen and thought about. It's really an honor to be at Grassroots Radio Colorado, have you folks listening, and be joined by my two friends, Justin and John. Welcome back, guys.
Thanks for having us.
But before we jump back in, I also wanted to say something, too. There was a spot a few moments ago where Ken was talking about advertisers, advertising on the show. And I got involved with Grassroots Radio when I was told about the thing because I thought it was so important to have this voice on the radio, a place where we can come together, find out what's going on in the state legislature, comment on what's going on nationally, and tell people about what's happening, how they can get involved. And so I supported the show based on my commitment to the principles behind the show. But I got to tell you, if you're considering advertising on Grassroots Radio Colorado, guess what? It works. So I would just put that extra plug in for Ken and Jason because we got to keep this thing going. We've got to grow it. We've got to grow its reach and its impact on people, get more listeners, more people involved. And so there's my sales pitch for the night. Support this show. Any questions?
Yeah.
All right. All right. John, you wrote an we've kind of diverted away from the legislature, but we've been talking about success in elections. And, you know, I'm the chairman of the Arapahoe County Tea Party. And John, you wrote an article, GOP could use the whiskey the Tea Party drinks. I couldn't agree more. For people who haven't read the article, what did that mean?
Well, it's talking a lot about taking some lessons from the life of Abraham Lincoln, who, you know, had some notable failures, but he kept going. He believed in what he believed in. He didn't compromise his values. And in the end, things came out right. And, you know, it's the same thing here. We keep thinking about each election cycle just as one thing that we're doing. We're not looking at it as kind of a unified whole. And this is really the problem that we have in the party, is that there really is not enough contrast between our candidates and the other side in many cases. For example, with Mitt Romney, and I don't mean to pick on him, but I will, because I don't worry about it that much. But, you know, for every Obamacare, we had a Romneycare. For every, you know, tax increase Obama proposed, we had one that Romney was proposing. It's just not good enough. We have to create daylight as a party between us and the Democrats. It does us no good to pretend that we're Democrat light and expect that we're going to win elections, because we're just not. We have to boldly go out there and say, look, when we mean smaller government, we really mean smaller government. When we talked about not raising taxes during this election cycle, we really meant it. It's very harmful for us to lose an election like this so close, and then the day after have the Speaker of the House pretty much surrender completely to President Obama on the tax issue. We cannot afford to have leaders like that who do that on a regular basis.
Amen, brother.